As I lead this service with two people in an empty sanctuary, I'm also thankful that you're able to hear it on the internet. This is just one of many major life adjustments we're forced to make as we adapt to this temporary lifestyle change on account of the coronavirus. Our hope at Bethlehem and Zion is to get back to normal worship and care as soon as possible. And in the meantime, we'll be posting our worship services and important information on our website, and we'll be keeping in touch with our members in as many ways as possible. This abbreviated service will include some of our liturgy from Divine Service 3, pages 184 and following, if you care to follow along, in our Lutheran service book. We'll hear and sing a single hymn. We'll say prayers, read scripture, and preach. And we pray that this is helpful to you. Now, I'm always amazed by how the appointed texts on any given service apply to what we're working through at the time. And today's texts are no different. They give us food for thought as we struggle through these trying times, and we could spend hours mining these lessons that are embedded in them, but in this case, we're going to learn that God's people are not strangers to hardships and how God continually cares for us as his people. In the Old Testament lesson, the Israelites grumbled and complained against God and Moses when they hungered in the wilderness. And the Lord miraculously helped them. He sent enough manna and quail to feed 2 million Israelites for 40 years. In the gospel, Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 men, not to mention their families, with fish and bread in the wilderness. And both of these episodes relate to one another. But we're going to focus on the lesson from Acts 2 to talk about a different kind of miracle, helping our neighbors through the hardships that we are facing together. And so we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. A psalm reading from Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. And if your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons shall also forever sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. And we sing together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An Old Testament lesson reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent is from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat, and you shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat, and Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson is from Acts chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and all had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Be to thee, O Lord. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, he, seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We speak together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For our hymn today, we are singing hymn number 850, 850, God of Grace and God of Glory. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power.
Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil round us scorn the Christ, assail his ways. From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Cure your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the gift of your salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you whom we adore. Serving you whom we adore.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, nearly every morning I start my day with devotions. I read scripture, I'll say prayers, and I write on a 3x5 card. On one side, I print Bible verses that I've read that morning that seem like they might apply to the day ahead. And on the other side, I list the appointments that I have and things I want to do. And beginning on Ash Wednesday this year, at the top of that side of the card, I printed the following words: live simply, give more, expect less. That's been my mantra, my theme for this Lenten season. And little did I know how apropos those words would be in the wake of the coronavirus crisis. I'm telling you this today because those six words are a summary of what I want to talk to you about. Live simply, give more, expect less is a summary of Acts 2, 41 through 47. They describe the conditions and the decisions the disciples made during those early days. But they also lay out a blueprint, a plan for how we Christians will live during these latter days as we deal with the coronavirus pandemic. You know, about 40 years ago, Richard Foster wrote a classic book called The Freedom of Simplicity, Finding Harmony in a Complex World. He said, living simply is never simplicism. And in the first chapter, he writes this about simplicity. He says it's a call to every Christian, that the witness to simplicity is profoundly rooted in biblical tradition and most perfectly exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. And a little later, he says, while it is important to stress that Christian simplicity is more than a mere reaction to the modern crisis, it should also be underscored that simplicity is keenly relevant to the massive problems of our world. These words certainly ring true in these trying times. Our main text today is verses 46 and 47 of Acts 2. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day who were being saved. Now, I want to start by pointing out an ironic fact about the English Standard Version translation of that verse that we just heard. The literal translation of the word generous that Luke uses in this verse is the word simple. In fact, the complete Jewish Bible translation uses the word simple. In verse 46, it reads, "Continuing faithfully and with a singleness of purpose, to meet in the temple courts daily and breaking bread in their several homes, they shared their food in joy and simplicity of heart." Gladness and generosity, joy and simplicity. One verse says simplicity, the other says generous. Both are possible, both are good. Living simply and giving more go together. And so I want to look at how this looks and how it works. First, those early believers lived simply. Before taking on any of the complicated logistics of their new life in Christ, they laid this foundation. It was first things first. There was nothing fancy about it. It was simple living in Christ. And our text tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. This first phrase is saying that the Pentecost pilgrims stayed in town to hear the apostles' teaching. They didn't leave. They were in fellowship. This is what we say in the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the fellowship of saints. And when it says the apostles' teaching, that means they gathered around God's word. The Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints were gathering around God's word just as we do today. And likewise, it says the breaking of bread and prayer, that was a New Testament way of saying they received the Lord's Supper and they prayed together, they worshiped together. It doesn't get any more simple than that. And so as we work through all the complex problems of living with the coronavirus, we cannot lose sight of this simple truth. Our first concern for us and for others is eternal life. We must base all the help, the care, and the future decisions we make on a simple, simply living the apostles' teaching and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The fact is, in some ways, our lives have gotten much simpler lately. As stores and businesses, restaurants and schools are closed, as athletic and social events are canceled, as our travel is restricted, our lives have become much simpler. Now, I don't believe that God sent this virus so people would get sick and die. I believe this virus is simply the result of living in a fallen world that is filled with sin, disease, and death. But I also believe that by allowing this virus to spread so far and do so much damage, it has forced us to live simply. It's like the Lord has pushed the reset button for us. We're learning that those things that we had treasured before can be taken from us, but our baptisms and our faith in Christ and our eternal life cannot be taken from us. And as with every hardship, if we go through this with the Lord, we will fare far better than if we go through it without the Lord. We are learning to live simply. But we also must learn to give more and expect less, or we won't survive. The same thing was true in Acts 2. We read this in verses 44 and 45. And all who believed were together and all had things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, please, I want you to understand, this is not saying that all Christians need to sell off all of our possessions and live communally in order to combat the coronavirus. But we do need to help one another as people lose jobs, lose income, become lonely. We need to learn to give more and expect less in order to survive this crisis. You need to know that there are parts of the Bible that are prescriptive and parts that are descriptive. That means there are parts that prescribe what we are to do in our lives. They tell us what to do. So the Ten Commandments, they are prescriptive. They tell us how we are to live. They tell us what we are to do and not do according to God's unchangeable will. But this verse is descriptive. It simply is describing what the disciples were doing then and there. But that doesn't mean that we have to live in exactly the same way. But the scriptures do tell us to have the same love, the same care for each other that they had. Here's something I want you to keep in mind. Let's compare and contrast the coronavirus and Pentecost. One is deadly, and the other is life-giving. But they both spread quickly. And we know how quickly COVID-19 spread around the world. You compare that to how quickly the gospel spread around the world following that first Pentecost. The very first converts after the resurrection of Jesus were just 10 apostles and a few female disciples in the upper room on that Easter night. Judas and Thomas were missing. So St. Paul reports in 1 Corinthians that that number grew to 500 before Jesus ascended into heaven. But on Pentecost, just 10 days after Jesus' ascension, just 50 days after his Passover resurrection, the number of Jesus' disciples jumps. The first verse of today's text tells us that 3,000 people were baptized in Jerusalem that day. Now you got to keep in mind, these pilgrims came from all over the Middle East to celebrate the Jewish festival called the Feast of Weeks, which is what we call Pentecost. Their native languages were numerous. They had no intention of hearing anything new. They had no intention to hear about, let alone believe in, Jesus as the Messiah. But when they heard the rushing wind, when they saw the flames of fire over the apostles' heads, when they miraculously heard the gospel in their own languages, when they were told the good news that Jesus, the promised Messiah, was raised from the grave, they became 3,000 believers who were baptized that day. And we also learn in the beginning of Acts chapter 4, that 3,000 people grew to 5,000 men, not to mention women and children. Now think about that. Most of these new believers were not natives of Jerusalem. They didn't have homes there. They didn't have jobs there. They were hated by the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the city, so there would be repercussions. There would be persecution. So how were all these converts going to eat? How would they live? This was a logistical nightmare that is very similar to what people are working with today. There wasn't going to be a miraculous feeding of the 5,000 like we heard about in John 6. So how would these people be taken care of? By the power of the Holy Spirit and out of love and faith in Jesus, this mass of new believers in Christ would have to take care of each other. They would have to learn to live simply and to give more and expect less. And they did that. They took care of one another. And it wasn't long, though, until the Roman soldiers and the temple police scattered the new believers in Jerusalem. It became a crisis, so they left Jerusalem. They returned to their homelands, but when they did, they took the good news of the gospel of forgiveness, life, and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ with them, wherever they went. This is a great example of how God used this crisis to spread the gospel for the good of all mankind. And as strange as it may seem, God has used crises and pandemics for good in nearly every century ever since that Pentecost. Christians have cared for each other. They have cared for other Christians. But they have also outpaced the rest of the world in caring for anyone who is suffering, anyone who has need. And in each case, the cause of Christ, the Christian faith, and the number of believers have multiplied. We celebrate the fact that Jesus suffered all of these things himself for us. When he came down from heaven, he gave up all of the riches and all the blessings that he enjoyed there in order to suffer in poverty, in order to die on a cross. And because of his suffering, and because of his generosity that was born of a simple lifestyle, where he gave more and expected less, we are benefiting from what he had done for us, but we also learn how to do the same. I hope that God will use this episode in our life history to teach us to live simply, give more, and expect less, just like the disciples did soon after the church was born at Pentecost. This episode is a life lesson in how we will be living for the next few months and hopefully for the rest of our lives on earth when it comes to the way that we take care of one another. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Our wise, powerful, and loving God, during these difficult and trying times, grant us wisdom and courage. Grant us hope and love. Give us a faith that is filled with the knowledge of your word and a trust in your promises. Like the disciples in Jerusalem who cared for all the new converts when the necessities of life were scarce, teach us to live simply, give more, and expect less. Forgive us for the times when we withhold what we have, when we could help those who are in need. We thank you for sending your Son, who gave up all the riches and the comforts of heaven to live in poverty, suffer hardships, and die on a cross, so that we could have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless both Bethlehem and Zion as we move forward in our partnership, and inspire us to look for ways to provide the bread of life to all peoples in our community and around the world. Guide us in this process and guard us against any kind of conflicts that may divide us while we wait on your will. Bless Pastor Becker and myself and all pastors and missionaries and church workers that you have called with the spiritual nourishment that we need so that we may feed others. We especially pray for Pastor Schlund and Kelsey and Pastor Asher and Jenny, for Chelsea and those serving in Ingria Hope Center in Russia while they serve in the mission field. Bless the ministry of the churches in our circuit and the ministry of our Heartland Lutheran High School. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless and be with those who are celebrating their birthdays this week. And bless and be with Andrew and Alyssa, Fernando and Taylor, Luke and Shelby, Derek and Sarah as they prepare for their weddings. May their preparations lead to a blessed wedding day and a life together as husbands and wives. Bless them with a joy that is willing to live simply, give more, and expect less as husbands and wives. We pray for those who are celebrating anniversaries this week, that they would continue in the same. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know our needs before we ask, and yet you invite us to be patiently praying for health and healing or comfort and consolation. So deliver from suffering those who are sick and bring a healthful spirit of your grace to all who cry for mercy. And so we pray for those affected by the coronavirus in Nebraska and throughout the world, and all the infirm and the ill that are connected both with Bethlehem and Zion, including Lyle and Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Dennis, Jessica, Robin, Janine, Roland, Pearson, Don, Connie, Barb, Lee, Rosetta, Dan, Rhonda, Ryan, Bob, and Betty, and the homebound and shut-ins, including Bob, Lorraine, Lena, Lois, Glenn, Joanne, Eldine, Rosetta, Wilma, and Lois, as they receive special care and treatment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of peace and justice, the whole world is suffering in so many ways. You establish earthly government to foster peace and harmony and to care for the citizens who live in each nation's boundaries. And so send your blessing upon all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that your people would put their lives and vocations in proper order so that they may serve you in peace. We're thankful for all those whose vocations call them to care for us in our time of need, including law officers, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, healthcare professionals, and military personnel, including Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, Luke, Evan, and Tyler. Keep them in your providential care and bless them in their duties. Keep them safe from disease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. In your wisdom, you have permitted this disastrous pandemic to befall us. We implore you, let not the hearts of your people despair, nor our faith fail us, but sustain and comfort us. Direct all efforts to attend the afflicted, console the bereaved, and protect the helpless. Bring hope and healing that we may find relief and restoration through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.